Welcome to a special edition Inside Lacrosse podcast. We're live at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey for the Big City Classic as we have two great matchups between Cornell and Princeton, followed by Syracuse and Notre Dame. I'm Zach Babbo. Today I got a chance while hanging out at practice to talk to players and coaches from all four Division I teams, as well as the people here at Inside Lacrosse that put on these great events. And we also got a little insight into the high school matchups going on. I recommend everybody to turn on this podcast as you're getting ready to come out to the games. If maybe you haven't decided to come out to the games, what's keeping you here? It's supposed to be beautiful weather, and we have tickets available. And I can't think of a better way to spend a Saturday than coming out and seeing great lacrosse in a great setting. If you're interested in coming out, you can still get tickets either walking up at the gate, find them on Ticketmaster if you search for Big City Classic or even MetLife Stadium, or go to www.bigcityclassic.com. If you can't make it, the games will all be broadcast on ESPNU, and follow Inside Lacrosse all day for the usual top-notch coverage we shall provide.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Start off by talking with IL's Andy Bellillo, the man who's kind of the brains of the operation of these great events. Andy, the Big City Classic caps off, you know, a pretty busy year for us here. This is routinely our biggest event in terms of crowds, and I would say in terms of matchups. I mean, you're not getting much better than Princeton, Cornell, and Notre Dame, Syracuse, especially this late in the season when so much is on the line. Can you just kind of talk a little bit about, you know, the games going on tomorrow?
Well, I think that these two games could easily be rematches in the NCAA semifinals. I mean, you think about it. Cornell and Notre Dame, probably along with Maryland, have been the three most consistent teams in Division I lacrosse this spring. I think the Princeton-Cornell game also features two of the leading contenders for the Towaartson Award, and Rob Pinnell from Cornell and Tom Schreiber from Princeton. And then we know Syracuse. I mean, Syracuse has had some ups and downs this year, but they have proven they can beat anybody, and I think if they get on a run, they're going to find themselves in Memorial Day weekend. So I'm excited as a lacrosse fan because I think you're not going to find two more intense, more competitive games, especially this late in the season.
Can you talk a little almost about the, I guess you could almost say the pageantry of this event? I mean, we normally get a great crowd out here. All four of these teams have really strong alumni bases in this area, so I would definitely expect to see a lot of fans out for both teams. I mean, this setting is such an iconic setting. The Jets and Giants both play here. It's going to host the Super Bowl in a year. You know, just what all that kind of entails in an event like this.
Well, this is a professional venue that hosts the NFL and the biggest market in the United States. So it adds a lot of the bells and whistles that you don't get even at other NFL venues. I mean, the video presentation for the fans, just when they walk from their cars and they see, you know, these immense video boards right by the entrance gates and you see lacrosse players 100 feet high. It's kind of cool. It's something you just don't see every day. You certainly don't see on campus venues, let alone even some of our events at other, you know, special stadiums. I think what people get out of the Big City Classic is a bowl game type of feel. You know that this is different. It's not the same as even if they had played in Ithaca, even if they played at the Carrier Dome, which is one of the legendary venues in lacrosse. And the fact that you're in the shadow of New York City, you're where people have competed to try and win Super Bowls, it's just something that lacrosse doesn't get every day. And even though we've been doing it now for 5 years, I think every athlete, every coach feels like this is a highlight of their season.
So, you know, you can almost kind of hear some of that intensity behind us right now. Syracuse is out practicing. This is definitely a game. I mean, the stage, under the lights, everything, it seems to be it adds a little bit more to everything, including the players. I mean, we've seen some great games in these events. You know, are you expecting anything maybe out of the games tomorrow or just kind of looking at historical precedent before here?
Well, I don't know how the games are going to play out. That's why we love sports. You know, it's unscripted drama. But I think we've seen in all of the Inside Lacrosse events in the past, you get this effect almost like I feel we've seen over the decades with Monday Night Football, where the players feel like everyone in the sport's watching them, and they have a little more adrenaline. They have a little more incentive to play well on the big stage. And more often than not, we end up with one goal or overtime games. And I don't see any reason why we wouldn't expect the same tomorrow.
And we have two great high school games going on beforehand. What does that kind of add to the event, too? Especially, I mean, we got a team flying all the way out from damn near San Diego to play in the games tomorrow.
Well, we have St. Ignatius from California that made the trip east. They're playing Seton Hall Prep early in the day. And then after them, Don Bosco and Bergen Catholic, which is a big local rivalry, will play here. It's just a way to connect the event with the local community. Quite frankly, they get the grassroots excitement from the kids who play lacrosse nearby. And just the fact that we're adding a team from the West Coast who wanted to make the trip adds that little bit of a unique flavor to it.
All right, well, the weather's supposed to be gorgeous. You can still get tickets at www.bigcityclassic.com or walk up to the stadium tomorrow. Come on out and check out these great games. Okay, now we're checking in with Ty Zanders of IL Preps, the man who always has his ear to the high school scene here. I want to talk a little bit about the high school games that are leading off the Big City Classic. We have two pretty interesting matchups. Seton Hall Prep of New Jersey is playing St. Ignatius, coming all the way out from California. And after that, we'll get two fairly familiar names to those who know the Jersey athletic scene, Bergen Catholic versus Don Bosco Prep. I guess let's start talking about the Seton Hall-St. Ignatius game. You know, what are we kind of expecting to see maybe out of that one?
I think it's sort of a different story from Don Bosco at Bergen Catholic. Seton Hall Prep is a known commodity in New Jersey, you know, sports. And then St. Ignatius Prep, I think they're one of the teams in the rise out west, you know, having a really strong year, you know, being our top 25. And they went toe-to-toe with Chaminade yesterday and only lost by one, had a phenomenal, you know, showing from their goalie, Cyrus Scott. So I think it'll be a fun game, maybe a contrast in styles. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
And now, you know, for the second game, as I said, those are teams that most people know. Actually, the first I heard that, I thought we were almost talking a football matchup, as Bosco and Bergen Catholic tend to sometimes meet each other in this stadium at the end of football season for the New Jersey football championships. You know, Bosco's an up-and-coming program in New Jersey here, led by former Syracuse stud Mike Springer. Bergen Catholic is just a great athletic tradition in the state. You know, this is a pretty deep-seated rivalry between these two. Great prep matchup here. So, you know, what should we expect out of this one?
You know, I think it's funny. You know, if we were playing football, we'd probably have, 30,000 people here. But, you know, it's a really fun rivalry to be a part of. I think if you're in the D.C. area, you think of this as maybe Georgetown Prep Landon's level and, you know, Long Island and St. Anthony's Chaminade's level. It's really, a heated rivalry in the Garden State. So I think it'll be interesting to see how these lacrosse teams square off. I know Mike Springer's doing a really good job assembling some Division I talent. I know some of the guys to keep an eye out on are, Jack Ray, a 6'6" attackman going to Navy. I mean, who doesn't want a guy with that size, heading to the top Division I program? And then Riley O'Sullivan is a sophomore headed to Georgetown. I watched him at Coach Springer's event, Maverick Showtime, run with Paul Carcaterra. And that's, really fun watching O'Sullivan. Also, Mike D'Alessandro, one of their better players in football, is safety. But he's more of that two-way midi type going to North Carolina. So Bosco really, doing a really good job, with their lacrosse program. So, it'll be fun to watch tomorrow.
I guess we kind of breezed by for the Seton Hall St. Ignatius game. Are there some big-time potential D1 or even big-time D3 talents or anything playing in that game?
I think definitely for St. Ignatius. You know, they have, everybody knows Rob Emery from Virginia. They have his younger brother, Matt, is a big-time shooter from the West Coast. Also, their goalie, as I mentioned, Cyrus Scott, headed to Colgate. I think he had almost 16, 17 saves against Chaminade, so I think he's probably in line for that type of performance. Again, if he gets that amount of shots. And also they have players like Joe Lang, Roy Lang's brother. He's a early verbal to Harvard, and he's putting up ridiculous numbers of attack. So St. Ignatius, those are the players, and also for Seton Hall Prep, Peter Marchetto, a face-off man going to Colgate, and Chester Toy, a midi going to Lehigh. So he's Seton Hall Prep. You know, they're 2-6 in the year, but much better than that record, really indicates. They've dropped one-goal games to New Jersey mainstays, Chatham, Del Barton, and a three-goal game at Summit. So they definitely have some talent, and I think it'll be a close game for much of it.
Do you think games like this, when the California teams or the kind of out-of-region or budding new region kind of teams come and play Northeast teams, there's a little extra juice in the line for them? I mean, it tends to be a statement win if a team from California or the West or the South or something like that comes in and all of a sudden knocks off a New York team, a New Jersey team, a Maryland team, a more established area, let's say.
I think it definitely does that, and I think St. Ignatius has the advantage in that they played a game yesterday, so they've already played a top team in the country, and Seton Hall Prep. I mean, they're going to be playing Seton Hall Prep in one of the bigger stadiums they'll ever see. So I think the jitters may go away after they get that game against Chaminade on their legs. But winning this game would be, you know, big to beat any East Coast team. It says a lot, how far, you know, these teams come, you know, both literally and figuratively. So.
And, you know, we have three New Jersey high schools playing here. I mean, you see a lot of lacrosse from a lot of different areas. Can you kind of give a feel of what the New Jersey high school scene is? Maybe not even comparing it to others, but just kind of the level of talent, the style of play, anything like that?
I think it's fantastic. I think we, make it a hard time over the fact that we're not giving enough love to these New Jersey players. But I think, as recruits, they're sort of a mix between maybe the tougher athletes from Philly and, finesse from Baltimore. It's really, a mix between a few different types of players, and it makes them fun to watch. You know, they're just tough guys that'll play two ways and make big stops defensively, and there's some good goalies. So it's a fun state to watch, when it comes to lacrosse.
All right, well, you heard it here. So come out early tomorrow. The big guys don't start playing until 4, but high school gets rolling at 11 with two games going, one right after the other. Come out early and see some great high school action and a great venue and potentially some future D1 players that maybe we'll be cheering on in future Big City Classics. We're going to talk a little matchups here with Inside Lacrosse's editor-in-chief, John Gelati. Let's talk about the first game to start the day here, Princeton versus Cornell. Great Ivy League rivalry. Cornell's already locked up first place in the Ivy and they're going to host the tournament. But this is a lot on the line for both teams here. Princeton could probably use a top five win to help solidify their record. Cornell obviously just wants to kind of keep rolling here, keep their Ivy League supremacy up. You want to go into the Ivy League tournament feeling like you've bested, all of your potential rivals. And generally, this is just a great rivalry where both teams, it's one of those ones where it counts a little more maybe if you walk away with it on the season. John, what are you kind of looking at maybe going into this game here?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head with the rivalry thing. I mean, this is a huge rivalry game for these guys, but I think there's a lot on the line for the postseason as well. As you mentioned, I think Princeton would kind of guarantee themselves an NCAA bid, I think, with a win over Cornell today versus maybe you get the loss and then you wait till that Ivy League final, which I don't think is a wise move, Ivy League tournament. So I think a win over Cornell for Princeton guarantees them being in. And then for Cornell, you hang on to hopes of a top two spot, which, as I talked about with Eamon McEnany and Paul Carcaterra on my Google Hangout today, is the difference between those top two seeds and playing an NEC or a MAC team and everybody else is going to be a mile apart between the next best team that a 3, 4, 5, or 6 seed is going to have to face. So I think for Cornell, I think the fight for those top two seeds is going to be huge. And I think Cornell kind of keeps their name in that mix if they beat Princeton today. If they lose, knocks them down. They have a chance of getting back up there in the Ivy League tournament if they win that. But you pick up this win and you're still in that conversation, I think, for one of those top two seeds, which are going to be so crucial this year.
One of the exciting things I'm looking forward to in the game tomorrow is the fact that this feels like it's going to be a high-octane kind of matchup. I mean, Princeton and Cornell both can score goals in buckets. That seems to kind of be the strength of both units. So this could really be one of those, double-digit, end-to-end kind of affairs, which is actually kind of unique for the Princeton-Cornell matchup, considering how often these teams really kind of make their bones on defense. Are you kind of expecting any kind of fireworks like that, maybe?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been great to see. I mean, yeah, you're right. Maybe 10 years ago, this would have been a 7-5 game or a 6-4 game, and this you're looking at both teams possibly being in the teens and on Saturday at the Big City Classic. So you're totally right. Cornell's attack is so good, probably one of the best in the country, right up there with Carolina, I think. And then, I think Princeton's midfield is so good, especially with Tom Schreiber. You're looking at two of the top 3 or 4 players in the country when you count Rob Pennell for Cornell and Tommy Schreiber for Princeton. Those guys have just been so, so good. You're going to both go down as, two of the best ever in the Ivy League history. So watching those two guys especially is going to be fun, but watching, just both offenses run up and down the field. Princeton's defense is kind of young, and Cornell's defense has held up pretty well this year with A.J. Fiore in goal, but, I think you're going to see a lot of offense on Saturday, no question.
Shokoff Field and Class 52 are both really iconic lacrosse stadiums, but it seems to add a little bit to something that we're going to see this big-time rivalry for, I believe, the first time in a venue like this, big-time under the lights, NFL venue, which should be a huge crowd. Think that might add any kind of juice to it, to playing tomorrow?
Absolutely. And, you know, both programs are so rooted in New York City area. Princeton obviously being right around the corner in Princeton, New Jersey, but, you know, Cornell being up in Ithaca. But, you know, huge presences in the city, just like Syracuse has. You know, we saw a lot of guys last night in the city at a party that we had at Local West. A lot of Cornell and Princeton guys were there. So, you know, both teams very, very New York oriented, New York City oriented. This is a venue that is, you know, 15 minutes from Manhattan, which is kind of exciting. So, yeah, I think being in the big venue, these guys are excited about that, you know. And you know, Cornell was hesitant to give up this game as a home game for them. You know, the first conversations we had with them, they were, you know, kind of shied away from it being such a huge game for them. But they came back and said, you know what, we want to be on that big stage. We want all the flash that goes with that. And you know, we're excited that they agreed to that and changed their tune on that. And I think this is going to be a fantastic game that the fans are going to enjoy on Saturday.
And as you'll hear from my talk with Chris Bates a little bit, there's a chance if you come out, you'll see history tomorrow. If this game plays out as high octane as I think it might, apparently Coach Bates was informed that I don't believe in the history of this rivalry you've had a game where both teams reach double digits, and I would not be the least bit surprised if we see that tomorrow.
I would be shocked if we didn't see that. Wow, that's a fascinating stat. Interesting. But, you know, we got a chance to watch Princeton today practice, and, you know, talking about that up and down nature, they ended practice shirts and skins, no shoes, and had both a goal in each corner of the stadium, which is probably about 120 yards long, just kind of ran around, no boundaries. Was an interesting dynamic, but I think that speaks to the different nature of Princeton these days with, you know, a lot more offense than defense.
Okay, now let's hear from Princeton coach Chris Bates and Cornell attackman Matt Donovan about the upcoming game. All right, we're out here on the field with Princeton coach Chris Bates. Coach, I want to talk to you about the Cornell game, but I got to ask first. I got to see that great little kind of pseudo scrimmage you had going on there at the end. What do you call that, I guess?
It's just a little game of Bagataway. Our guys have been asking for it, and we figured there's probably never been one at Giant Stadium, so we had a little five-minute scrimmage. It was fun. A bunch of guys have mohawks for some crazy reason, so we figured it was fitting. You know, a little honor of the game. So it was fun to watch.
Anything like that? Sometimes useful to maybe have a little fun at the end of practice for a really big game tomorrow.
Yeah, we want to stay loose. I mean, we know the stakes of the game tomorrow. It's a big game. It's got a lot of importance, both short and longer term with selection stuff. So you know, we try to keep these guys loose, but you know, we focused at the same point. So.
I guess, you know, what kind of things are maybe you're most concerned about in a game against Cornell coming up here?
Just ball possession, really. You know, I think two offenses can score. You know, I think facing off and ground balls, I think the intangibles of the game tomorrow are critical. You can't always dictate how you're going to shoot it, how you're going to save it. But, you know, if you can pick up loose balls and give yourself possession off a face-off, off a ride, you know, any kind of loose ball situation, then I think, you know, I think every possession is going to count tomorrow.
Yeah, both of you teams can score really well. I mean, does this have a feeling of a game that might be one of those kind of higher scoring, you know, up and down kind of contests?
I'd be surprised if it's a 7-6 game. You know, I guess Jerry Price did an article and the Princeton-Cornell game has never been, you know, a two-team double-digit game. I don't know if it'll be that high tomorrow, but again, I don't anticipate it being low scoring. I think both teams, if they're playing well and moving the ball offensively, you know, will be able to score some goals, and it's just a matter of saving the ball and you know, how well we shoot it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing a 4-3 Cornell-Princeton game a long time ago. I have a feeling it's going to be quite different. That kind of idea, I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. I saw a lot of these Cornell-Princeton games growing up, covered a lot of them. You know, I mean, and now it's in a much bigger venue. You know, you've been at Princeton for long enough now. You've gotten a real taste for the rivalry. What are your kind of thoughts on just that Ivy League rivalry?
Well, you know, there's a lot of history to it. There's a lot of tradition to both programs. You know, there's good games virtually every time that these two teams suit up and play each other. So, and at last game of the regular season, there's a lot in the line. There's playoff seedings. There's, you know, for the Ivy League, there's NCAA tournament implications. So, you know, I think two teams have a lot of respect for each other, but also, you know, it's one that you know, guys get ready for, and it's just a natural rivalry just based on the caliber of the teams and the history of the game.
You know, your team, as I said before, you guys score really well. I mean, is that something you've kind of really enjoyed watching, that kind of chemistry of the unit, the way they all kind of work so well together, progress as the season's gone on here?
Our top group just seems to enjoy playing with each other. There's a like-mindedness in terms of, you know, pretty much an unselfishness. Everybody wants to score the ball, and you know, that's the goal of an offense. But at the end of the day, our guys are pretty unselfish, and the ball moves. And it's fun to watch. I mean, I get out of the way a lot of times and let them do their thing, and I think they appreciate it. There's a decent amount of freedom. You know, there's obviously some structure, but it's when we're playing well offensively, it's fun to witness for sure.
And I guess, you know, anybody who's sitting around in Jersey, maybe Princeton fan or not, debating coming out to the game tomorrow, you get anything to kind of help convince them? I mean, I think it's going to be a great up and down, really fun game. I can't wait to watch tomorrow.
No doubt about it. I mean, this is a great environment. You got two great games. I think ours will be an up and down game. And you can't get beautiful day, great lacrosse. Come on out. It'll be fun.
Thanks a lot, Coach. All right, we're talking with Cornell's Matt Donovan. Matt, you have a lot of ties to this area. You grew up in Morristown. You played ball at Seton Hall Prep, and now you're a Jets fan. You find yourself back in the stadium now, I guess. What were your thoughts kind of being in this event here?
It's a good event. This is kind of what you dream about growing up as a kid. You watch this stuff on TV, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. Good atmosphere. Good crowd, so it's going to be a great experience, and we're all looking forward to it.
You're a football fan in the area. This place has got, I guess, a certain value to that. I mean, you get a kick out of just being here, in a stadium like this. You kind of grew up near?
Yeah, absolutely. This is actually my first time being in this facility. The other one was knocked down a couple years ago, so it's pretty awesome. We actually just got a nice little tour of, the Giants facilities and all that stuff, so, it's great. It's good to be here.
I guess, to the game itself here, I mean, what are your thoughts kind of heading to Princeton Cornell here? I mean, it's obviously a great Ivy League battle. Yeah. I grew up in the state and saw a lot of great, versions of that. I guess I think it's going to be an up and down, high scoring kind of game, which is a little atypical for the series. What are you guys thinking heading in here?
Yeah, it's an Ivy League contest, so it's going to be a tough one. Every game in the Ivy League is definitely one you got to earn for sure. We like to get up and down. Watching film on Princeton, they do a little bit. They kind of settle it up more so than us in the offensive end. But it's going to be a fast-paced game, and it's going to be going.
Princeton's kind of between two goalies right now. Is there that change of preparation at all, not necessarily knowing who might start the game?
Not at all. I mean, obviously we have a scout, as to where we want to shoot. But at the same time, we've been playing this game for, 10-plus years or so. So, we just got to come out and play, do our best, and hopefully it'll end in our favor.
Now, your high school alma mater, Seton Hall Prep, is playing beforehand, and I heard your younger brother is playing in that game.
Yeah.
I guess you're going to try and catch or anything, or just, what's kind of your thoughts of being in an event where you guys are both playing here?
Right, yeah, I would love to, but I think they're playing at 10 a.m., so I think we're going to be having a team breakfast. But, I wish them the best of luck, and Seton Hall as well.
And I guess, how excited are you guys for, you already get the top spot in the Ivy locked up, but, how much does it mean, though, to be able to have maybe a win against Princeton in your back pocket, hopefully heading in there?
Yeah, I think this is one of the greatest rivalries in college lacrosse, certainly in the Ivy League. It's pride's on the line. So it's going to be a very, very tough fought game. And we expect them to bring their best game, and we will ourselves.
Right, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Following the Ivy battle between Princeton and Cornell will be Notre Dame-Syracuse, a Big East battle in its own right. It'll be the last time that Syracuse and Notre Dame play each other as a regular season Big East matchup. Lots on the line for this one. Notre Dame wins this. It'd be hard to argue with them almost locking up a number one seed, obviously depending on how conference tournaments go. And Syracuse wins this, and it's easily the best win they have on the resume so far, and maybe solidifies that resume if they don't happen to capture the Big East AQ. Also, first place implications in the Big East. A lot going into this one. What are your kind of thoughts heading into this, John?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit similar to the Princeton-Cornell game in that, Notre Dame, maybe locks up a one seed, but at least probably locks up a one or two, I think, with this win. Even with an implosion in the Big East tournament, I think they're probably still in line for a number two seed at least if they beat Syracuse here. And Syracuse, on the flip side, same thing. Probably, definitely locks up a bid, maybe locks up a home game in that first round as a seeded team if they take out Notre Dame here. And as you said, going to the Big East tournament, have that number one seed, which might actually hurt them in the perspective of having to play a weaker opponent in the first round of the Big East tournament. But nevertheless, I think that both teams have a lot to win here, and this has developed into a pretty nice rivalry. It's nice to see that it will continue into the ACC, but this will be the last time that they will play as Big East members. So there's a lot of pride on the line to kind of finish out that more, maybe especially for Syracuse, finish out that Big East run with a win.
I'm kind of almost expecting a very cerebral battle almost on the Syracuse and offensive end, Notre Dame defensive end. The Notre Dame defense is always known as being very smart, very measured, moves great, really hard to crack. This Syracuse offense, while maybe it doesn't have all the playmakers in the past that kind of wow you, it's been commented several times that Coach Desko feels this may be one of the smartest, well-coached units he has. So you're going to kind of see two units that really kind of know what they're doing, know the sense of what they want to do, how to maybe tweak little things to look for the advantages they can gain. Are you maybe expecting anything interesting out of that kind of battle between the Syracuse O and Notre Dame D?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of heard a couple times this year from teams that are either from analysts or from teams that have played them that Syracuse's offense is just very difficult to game plan for. It's very unpredictable the way that they run and just kind of how they operate. So it's like almost a perfect match to put an unpredictable, talented offense against, you know, defense that has been top five nationally since 06, I believe, in Notre Dame. So, yeah, I mean, the job that Jerry Byrne and Kevin Corrigan have done with that defense is pretty phenomenal over the last 5 or 6 years and you know, just as good this year with the parts that they have. So I'm excited to see how they're going to attack Syracuse, you know, especially, you know, with the way, you know, JoJo Marasco kind of runs so much from the midfield, who's going to take him and how they're going to try to defend the way that he kind of moves the ball around so much. And you know, Syracuse has done a pretty good job of finding, you know, getting guys with hot hands, and, you know, either whether it's Luke Kemeny or Henry Schoonmaker or you know, Derek Maltz, these guys have all kind of stepped up and had huge games this year, JoJo included, and you know, who's going to step up and how are they going to defend, and who's going to make, you know, more importantly, who's going to make the adjustments during the game that are going to win this one.
Syracuse is coming off a pretty rough stretch here, 5 games in 2 weeks. They went 4-1 over that stretch, a lot of one-goal games in there. I was down in Georgetown after that game last weekend. The players seem to make a lot out of finally getting a full week to prepare, to watch a lot of film. So, you know, really, they feel like they really can get ready for this big game against Notre Dame. How much of a factor do you think that kind of aids in a game like this?
I guess big. And, you know, coaches kind of, if typically, you know, try to force those midweek games into the early part of the season and focused on just a week, you know, one a week once you get into league play. So just for Syracuse to play 5 games in 2 weeks is a pretty busy schedule, and that obviously impacted them. And not to mention the fact that they played 5 one-goal games. That's going to wear you down even more. So they didn't have a break at all in any of those games. I could imagine Coach Desko might want to think that one through a little bit differently next year. But, yeah, I think the preparation thing is huge. I mean, any coach will tell you nowadays that preparation is so important to this game and preparing the guys. So, yeah, I mean, having a full week, it's great that we'll see both teams with a full week to prepare for this one. It might not be as freewheeling as it might have been if it was a midweeker, but I think it'll still be pretty fun and you know, probably for Syracuse to be a little bit more rested and prepared is going to be better for them.
And you mentioned all the one-goal games Syracuse played. Notre Dame has played a lot of one-goal OT games this year as well. Both teams kind of have that, you know, I guess you could say, clutch kind of experience of being able to gut out those tight wins. How important do you think that is? And in some ways, is that a precursor? I mean, would you be at all surprised if this becomes another, you know, one-goal nail-biter of a game tomorrow?
Not at all. I think, you know, it would be very, very likely to have a one-goal game. And that's huge that these guys have played in so many one-goal games. That experience is so, so important. You know, especially when you get down at this point in the season, late April, early May, you're looking at conference tournaments, NCAA tournaments, you're going to have close games, especially, you know, the way things are going with lacrosse nowadays, the parity, so many upsets, no one's blowing out anybody, and you know, you need to know how to win close games, you need to know how to play every game, too, which I think everybody's kind of learning this year, but yeah, I mean, these guys have played well and come back to win and held on to win and found and experienced a lot of different, you know, close encounters this year that I think are all of which are going to help them and make them pretty dangerous down the stretch here, and obviously especially Saturday.
Now let's hear from legendary Syracuse coach Roy Simmons Jr. and Notre Dame coach Kevin Corrigan about the Big East matchup between the Irish and the Orange. Got a real treat here. Syracuse legendary coach Roy Simmons Jr. is coming along with the team to the Big City Classic. And he's out here as they practice, getting ready for Notre Dame. Coach, I know that you guys have a big tailgate plan for tomorrow. Kind of curious, I guess, what, you know, how much of a crowd you're expecting and what maybe you guys are hoping to have tomorrow.
Well, so many of the Syracuse alum I live in the five boroughs of Connecticut and New Jersey, so it's a real treat when Syracuse comes to town, so to speak. So we try to incorporate other things for them to do. I have a foundation, the Simmons Lacrosse Foundation, which I raise money to give to lacrosse projects that need some help. And so I usually have a party in Manhattan this time of year. I decided this year, because the weather's going to cooperate, and we kill two birds with one stone. The alumni who love my foundation and come to that on a Friday night could come here Saturday and see a game and the foundation get together, where we'll have some auction items, and we charge, and we have it catered, and they can have a meal before the 6:30 game. So we've had a great response, and kill two birds with one stone to come to the Meadowlands and see one another, the alumni, and meet the old coaches, and give to the foundation, and then at 6 o'clock head for the stadium and see Notre Dame Syracuse. So it's a special day, and we hope to have maybe 150, 200 alumni in the tailgate, pregame tailgate in the parking lot.
Yeah, Coach, you've been a part of the Syracuse program for so long, and so you've gotten to really see how, over the years, there's always a great crowd that seems to follow this program everywhere. Yeah. How much do you think that means to the program, you know, that every time you go play a game somewhere, there's always a big group of orange in the crowd somewhere cheering you on?
Well, the NCAA years ago, we were up at Foxborough, said, thank God you made it to the Final Four, Syracuse, because it means so much more with ticket sales, because our alumni are so passionate and because they travel well. There are teams, you know, that are further away, and they don't have the base of alumni I have, because we started the sport in 1916. My father was a coach ahead of me for 45 years, and I was there for 40. So we've been around a while, and we got a lot of I've got kids that have kids that play on Syracuse team now. I always had that adage when I was coaching that if you want to play for me at Syracuse, you've got to give me your firstborn male child. Well, I can't tell you how many firstborn male children have come back to Syracuse. And now players that I recruited out of high school coached, and they've had children, and those children have come back. So the orange runs deep.
Coach, do you have any thoughts on the big game tomorrow? I mean, it should be a great game under the lights and in this stage and all. And obviously, there's a lot on the line. I mean, it'd be a huge win for Syracuse, a top five win if they make it, the Big East implications and everything.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation. It's an unusual year. You know, we've won five games by one goal. We've lost three goals by one goal. We're three goals away from being undefeated, you know, and one of those was an overtime. There's a lot of one-goal games this year and a lot of upsets. Nobody's undefeated. You know, you take strong teams like Virginia and Maryland and Hopkins. You know, they lost three or four games, which is unheard of. You know, we used to rule the roost with Hopkins and Virginia and Carolina years ago, and now anybody can do anything on any given day because there's so much talent. And Notre Dame's up there on top, and 2 years ago they were in Syracuse. They were undefeated, number one, and we happened to get lucky and knock them off. The situation this year is very unique in that we're playing Notre Dame. It's a Syracuse home. We decided to get out of the Carrier Dome and come down here for better exposure, ESPN plus alumni, and we're playing Notre Dame, and they're willing to play us here rather than the Carrier Dome. The thing is, they're in the Big East with us, and it looks like when the Big East tournament comes up next weekend, we'll be playing Notre Dame again. So there'll be 6 days between the game here on Saturday and next Thursday will be the first game of the Big East, and looks like we'll play Notre Dame again, and then we'll play probably the winner of St. John's and Villanova for the Big East title, and then we might even see Notre Dame several weeks after that if we behave. Could play them three times in one season.
Coach, you have any thoughts on this year's Syracuse team? I mean, they weren't necessarily that high in the polls and stuff coming this year, and they've really kind of overachieved, I guess you could say. I think they've been a fun team to watch and how they play offense. I've heard a lot of talk about how well coached, portions of the team are. I mean, you've seen so many different teams come through. I don't know if you want to compare anything, but just, do you have a feeling about this year's team?
Well, this year's team has kind of run hot and cold. We don't have that takeover type of guy like a Mikey Powell or a Gary Gade, one of those kids when we got in trouble we could go to and he'd electrify the team and either be a decoy or a scorer. We don't have a takeover type of athlete. We do have Jojo Maresco, who is one of the top middies in the country, but he's a targeted man. He'll always draw a long stick in a double team. So we don't have the depth with real go-to guys, impact players. But we're solid from one end of the field to the other. But no big heroes. those names are not on the tip of everybody's tongue like John Galloway was, two-time first-team All-American goalie who graduated 2 years ago. We had a few kids that were key to our winning in our season. This season's been up and down. The games we lost by a goal. It could have gone either way. We didn't play well. The Hobart game, winning by four goals with a couple of minutes to go, and they beat us. And Albany beat us for the first time. A one-man show with Lyle Thompson. And we say it shouldn't happen. It's hindsight, you know. It does happen. And Albany went down to beat Johns Hopkins. So it's been an unusual year, but all the talent that's out there is now coming to the surface. And any team in any given day can trip you up.
And, Coach, I know you're really famous for some great, you know, speeches and stuff pregame and all. You think you'll share any words with the team before the game tomorrow?
No, I don't think tomorrow. I might do that in the Final Four. That's what I'm usually called for. I don't meddle with the team. I took a page out of my dad's book. When he retired, I took over. The only way I could see him was go visit him. I don't go to practice. I don't go to the locker room unless invited. And the last title games we've won, I've always been invited in the end. But week to week, no.
Coach, thank you very much. It's a great treat to talk to you. And I advise everybody, really go out, find the Simmons Foundation online. They do some really great work. And it's great to be a part of this or that organization. And we're really glad that they're a part of our event tomorrow.
Well, thank you.
We're here with Notre Dame coach Kevin Corrigan. Coach, just kind of thoughts heading into a big Big East match here to end the season against Syracuse.
Yeah, you know, great matchup. They're playing really well and just an exciting place to be with, you know, crowd here at the Giant Stadium. So we're thrilled to be here and looking forward to a great game.
You know, I'm kind of really curious to see how this game plays out. Syracuse kind of just plays a bit more of a methodical, you know, deliberate, but kind of crafty offense this year. You guys have always played that great, you know, very disciplined, very tough to crack defense. I expect almost a chess match on that end of the field. I don't know how maybe you see the game maybe playing out there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about chess. I don't think we're that complicated. But yeah, certainly it'll be a good matchup. You know, and that's going to be, you know, part of the pivotal part of the game is you know, our selectivity on offense to keep them out of transition, and our ability to control them at the defensive end if we can, because they're a very good offensive team.
You know, both of these teams have been involved in a lot of one-goal games all year. What do you think that provides in terms of experience heading into a game like this and even heading into the playoffs?
Who hadn't been in a lot of one-goal games this year, you know? I mean, I think that's the way of the world these days. But you know, what I do think is it means everybody, you know, becomes pretty adept at handling those situations, you know, and which leads to more of them. It certainly both of us have been tested through the season with good schedules and a lot of close games. And I would be surprised if it doesn't come down to something like that tomorrow.
Does it add a kind of an interesting wrinkle to the game, the fact that, you know, there's a high likelihood you guys can play here and then probably play again in a week or so in the Big East tournament?
Yeah, we could play 4 days later, I think, if Syracuse wins. So, we're not really thinking about that, to be honest with you. You know, we'll worry about what happens next when we see what happens tomorrow. But we're just focused on tomorrow's game with Syracuse right now. And the other intrigue is for other people to worry about.
And you know, you mentioned the big stage and everything. I mean, a lot of your guys come from this area. You know, what does that kind of maybe add to a game like this?
Oh, it's terrific. I mean, you know, we've been lucky enough to play in a lot of these kinds of events, and it's just fun. You know, I mean, you come in here to this stadium. It's a beautiful place to play. The crowd is great, and despite the size of the place, it's got an intimacy to it when you put, you know, 10,000-15,000 people in here. So I think it's just a great thing, great experience for our kids.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach, and the best of luck in the game tomorrow.
Thanks a lot. All right.
Take care. We're checking in with ILGear.com editor Casey Vock. One of the great things about big events like this is it brings together a lot of elements of the lacrosse world, and obviously a big part of that are all the vendors and the gear being worn by players, the new gear you're going to get to check out if you come and kind of wander the concourse. Casey, can you give us a little bit of a hint maybe at some of the cool stuff we might see tomorrow?
Well, one of the major things that I think ought to be on people's radars from the start is to get themselves to the vendor area and head over to the Cascade and Maverick booth, where you're going to see the newest helmet that has been released. Actually, as I say this, we're closing in on the actual time at which this will be released on our site. You'll be able to see in person and even touch and try on the new Cascade R helmet. This is a helmet that utilizes or brings together the best technologies from the Cascade CPXR and the Cascade Pro 7, and also utilizes some additional technology from the recent company that purchased Cascade Bauer. So this is basically going to be the most advanced lacrosse helmet that has ever existed, and you can try it on for yourself here at the Big City Classic, which I think is kind of indicative of the level of event that this really is. Warrior, Brine, Maverick, STX, all of the major companies are going to be here showing off product because there are so many young people that are going to be here. Every kid that comes into this stadium, you know, has a stick in their hand. This is literally a circus of lacrosse, and so if you're going to be in the industry, you need to be at places like this. You're almost crazy to not be here because, you know, it's a high-exposure area. We're here in the metropolitan, you know, the tri-state area, where there's just going to be so many different people that can come through, huge lacrosse fans, huge lacrosse fan base. And so that's why it makes sense from a business standpoint to be here. But then when you look on the field as well, this is also a time for teams to shine. You know, not only are these companies showing off their best stuff, they are also showing it off through their teams. So tomorrow, for example, we know that Syracuse is going to break out elements of the Nike Anthracite kit that they had before. I'm not positive yet, but we'll see. It's either going to be, you know, they might use the matte gray Cascade CPXR helmet and go with an orange jersey, or vice versa. They might have an actual orange helmet on and use the Anthracite jersey. So it's just kind of interesting and exciting to see teams and lacrosse get to this level where what they're wearing is even interesting. And obviously right now, as I'm saying this, we're watching Notre Dame practice, and we saw their kit this week in the office, and we're able to shoot it and feature it on iogear.com. And it's funny that they, you know, these guys have three different pairs of Maverick gloves that they wear, including one that is a straight Irish green and gold color. So, you know, if you're not familiar with the sport of lacrosse, but if you're somehow interested in anything related to uniforms or gear or what athletes wear or do as lacrosse players here, it's an interesting place to be because you're going to learn a lot in a short period of time if you're new to the sport. And if you're into the sport, you're basically in, like I said before, a circus or like a festival of lacrosse where you'll see all kinds of new things. And that's not limited to just gear. You know, whether it's Flow Society or Adrenaline and other companies like that, you're going to see items from all of these lacrosse companies. And in a great place like this, you know, it's really beneficial to the companies themselves to be here and have a presence. And it's a great benefit to the people who come and buy tickets and float through.
And I gather the vendor area will be a lot of fun. Normally there's a handful of, you know, famous player cameos maybe coming through. Normally some of the vendors have some fun kind of participatory things the kids can play with. I mean, you mentioned being able to try on the new Cascade. Normally there's some shooting galleries, some fun stuff like that. Case, I know you already did a great job of sights and sounds from today's practice. I gather you'll be keeping everybody informed on IL Gear of all the cool discoveries you're going to be digging up through the vendor area and through the day tomorrow?
Yeah, you should keep your eyes on the site because you'll see all kinds of images of the Cascade R in addition to everything else that we spot that we feel our audience would want to see. So whether it's some of the new Warrior products or new STX products or new Brine products or new Maverick products, whatever it's going to be, we bust our butts when we're at these events so that we're not just talking about this and telling people about it. And obviously we want people to be here and see it in person themselves, but we realize not everybody will be able to do so. And so that's what these sights and sounds posts from the IL Gear perspective are all about, you know, bringing you here from afar and really showing you some of the great product that's on display. I think when you talk about a shooting gallery, I actually believe Warrior might have their rig set up where you can check your shot, speed and accuracy and that kind of thing. All kinds of stuff. Like I said, balls flying all over the place, kids with sticks, parents, you know, being drug around by their kids wanting to go see all these things. It's like a Disney World of lacrosse. So a lot to offer, especially for people with kids, you know, families and that kind of thing. And also just, you know, young guys that are, you know, still playing lacrosse themselves. I mean, if you're tuned into the sport the way that most people are that are passionate about lacrosse, it's kind of a thing that you see in the sport is once you're in, you're always in and you always care about it. That's what makes an event like this so great is that there's not just action and two incredibly high-profile matchups and on top of two great high school games, there's also a chance to learn more about the sport, see what's going on, keep up on the industry, the gear, the apparel, and what's happening. So it's great.
All right, well, you hear here first. Get here early. Go hit up the Vendor Village. Check out all the new gear and apparel that may be there. Keep an eye peeled for the new uniforms some of the teams might don. And if you can't make it out, make sure you stay tuned to ilgear.com for all the up-to-the-minute news on the new stuff. And follow along ilgear on Twitter. It's at IL_gear. Thanks a lot, Case.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sitting here with ILWomen.com editor Danielle Bernstein, who tomorrow gets to be queen of this lovely press box as she runs the show for the Big City Classic. Danielle, I have the privilege of sitting next to you at work, and I've seen you get more and more excited as the week has gone on for today's, or rather for tomorrow's Big City Classic. You've said it may be your favorite event. What is it about this event you love so much?
It is my favorite event, and I think a lot of that is because, well, one, it was the first event that I was kind of, I guess, given when I started Inside Lacrosse in terms of doing the media relations press box operations for it. So it's the one I've done the longest. So I guess it's a little sentimental part about that. And also because the first year that I did it was the year that they opened the stadium, and we were the first event in it, which I thought was really cool. And I think since then it's just always been one of my favorites. I think it's the one that feels – it has, like, the most big-time feel to it out of all of our events. It's – we've people who aren't involved with the operations of the event would know that because we've set attendance records at this event on a couple occasions and broken our own record. It's just the one that feels the most big time. Like, you know, I think it's rare in the sport that you see lacrosse treated as a big time event, and I feel like this event gives it that. And just some of the experiences, seeing how the players kind of react to that atmosphere and being in it when it's an atmosphere they don't typically get to be in as Division I lacrosse players and not like a football player or something like that is kind of cool to see, and I think that's part of why it's my favorite event.
You know, you mentioned the attendance records tend to be set at this one. We always get a great big crowd out here. You know, you'll be running the press box tomorrow. I mean, comparably, you're in a media capital like this. Do you see almost that balloon as well? Do we tend to get a lot more press out to this event? Is it just kind of capture a little more attention since we're sitting here, you know, on pretty much the footstep of New York City?
Yeah, we get more press for this event than we do for the other ones. And you see, I mean, at this one, I've seen some maybe media outlets that we don't get for other ones. Like, we'll have, I think we have some ESPN photographers here, which is kind of cool. Newsday comes out, some of the more local New York media as well. And even some TV stations have come out in the past and done local news broadcasts and highlights and stuff. So I think that's pretty cool, too. You do get a lot more media. The press box is usually, I feel like, bustling throughout the day, especially with the big games, especially with the Syracuse game, as they always bring down a lot of media as well. So yeah, it's always you get to meet a wide variety of people who work within this industry.
This is your fourth event you're running the press box and media for. Is there something that does it get more comfortable as the year goes on? Do you kind of look forward to this one too, because it's kind of, you know, it's old hat by now almost?
I think so in a way. And when I said it was my favorite event, it's, I think a lot of it is because it's not easy. I mean, there's still a lot that has to get done and stuff like that, but I've become more familiar with it, and I know, I feel like I'm more comfortable with what I'm doing and knowing what needs to get done, and just the staff here, too. They're great, and they helped us out and have been wonderful to work with, so I think that's part of it as well.
You know, I grew up in Jersey. I'm a Jets season ticket holder. I get a kick out of coming to this event. I did from the get-go, you know, because you kind of get to see different parts of the stadium I spend a lot of time in. You're from Denver. You got to do the same thing for the Mile High Classic out there. How cool of aspect is that, you know, that we get to kind of come in here and take over these big-time, prime-time, you know, multi-million-dollar, you know, NFL venues?
I think it's awesome. And I mean, you can test this. You're in the stadium every other weekend throughout football season. And we're sitting right here in the press box right now looking at a huge empty stadium outside of the players on the field practicing. And you never get to see a stadium like this. Whenever you're here, it's packed and crowded and every seat's taken. And I just think this is a rare, you know, just get to see the stadium kind of empty like this, or just hang out and walk around the bowels of the stadium and see different parts of it that other people don't get to. So I think from a fan standpoint, I think that's really cool. I would think you kind of feel similar.
Oh, yeah. I love taking the tour of the service level, seeing the Jets locker room, the different pictures up everywhere of former great players. Obviously, you know, we share the stadium with the Giants, so sometimes I don't quite like to look at all that as I walk by. But obviously, you know, different strokes for different folks, I guess. So I know some of the players really get a kick out of, you know, a lot of the guys come from the New York, Long Island area. They are Jets fans, Giants fans growing up. All week I've kind of heard that from guys about how excited they are to really get out here and you know, get a look at where they see their favorite players play in the big time from week to week. So I definitely think that adds an element to it. Are you going to be a little sad when this one wraps up, in the last event of the IL season?
First of all, I think we need to go back a second. Have you been in the Jets locker room? I thought they kept that on pretty
Oh, no, I haven't been in the Jets locker room. I mean walking by the Jets locker room. No. I see the signs that pretty much make it sound like you're going to, you know, get electric shock or something if you actually walk in. But just seeing the outside is closer than I've ever been.
It is cool. I was just clarifying because I heard that. I was like, wait a minute, what? How'd you get in? I thought maybe you knew people. But to go back to your question, I guess. I do get sad and a little... I think I get nostalgic about our events. I joke around with some of our other events operations staff. It's just that I get post-event depression because I really love them. They're so much fun, and it's such a great atmosphere for the sport, and I think our entire staff loves doing the events, and I kind of get sad when they're over. But maybe that's just me, and that's weird. I have no idea.
Well, Daniel, I'm looking forward to the typical professional and efficient press box that we always enjoy at these events. And thank you very much for talking for a little while today.
Thanks. Come to the Big City Classic.
All right. Well, that should give you a great feel of all the stuff we have planned for tomorrow for the Big City Classic here at MetLife Stadium. Get here early, check out the high school games, check out the vendor village, just generally check out the stadium. Make sure you're in your seats by 4 o'clock for a great game of Princeton versus Cornell, followed by Syracuse versus Notre Dame. I hope everybody who's listening to this is on their way to the stadium right now. If not, as we've said a bunch, you can still get tickets. Go to www.bigcityclassic.com for more information. Both college games are going to end up on ESPNU. They'll be broadcast live, so if you can't make it out to the stadium, make sure you follow there. Follow us at Inside Lacrosse on Twitter. It's @inside_lacrosse. Make sure to follow InsideLacrosse.com and ILGear.com all day for breaking news from this event as well as around the country. There are great games going on everywhere tomorrow. And make sure to continue to follow along to Inside Lacrosse's podcast on InsideLacrosse.com as well as in the iTunes store under Inside Lacrosse. Hopefully I'll see you out tomorrow in the beautiful weather for the Big City Classic.